I want to kind of take off where we left off last week. The reason I'm kind of studying, I'm just trying to make sure we're in the will of the Lord. We want to make sure we accomplish what He wants done. Let's pray. Father, we've come to the time now where we look into Your Word, which is actually Your mind. It's the way you think, the way you want us to think. It's your memories. It's things you tell us about your people. It gives us light, directs our paths, and makes us free. And Father, I ask you today as we look into it that you will be gracious by it. You will impart it into us. You will work it into us. You will allow it to be a part of our very being. As Christ was made flesh, as the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, I pray, Lord God, that is true with each person here, that the Word of God gets in them and is a part of them, and the Word is made flesh in our lives. Minister to us now. Anoint me, Lord, to break the bonds of the captives. Allow, Lord God, those that the seed falls upon to be good soil, and it brings forth 160 and 30-fold. And Lord, as we leave this place today, may we, as David of old said, it was good when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, we have praised you. We've given you our substance of our life, our money, what we've worked for all the week. We've sacrificed. And now, Lord God, we are ready and prepared to receive from you. Speak to us from your word. Use my vocal cords, O God, in my tongue, in my mannerisms. I pray for your glory. I ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. Sense a real solemnness here this morning as I minister the word. It just kind of wasn't while we were praising, of course, and it wasn't while we were giving, but it's just sort of settled in. It seems that the Lord really wants to say something to our hearts and our spirits. Last week, we were looking in Philippians chapters. We actually began at verse 5 where it says, chapter 2, verse 5 of Philippians, where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let these attitudes, if you have another translation. Then we saw the attitudes that were in Christ and how that he didn't esteem it wrong to be equal with God, but he saw that that was not what he grasped to, that was not what he was called to do, that what his eternal purposes were to be made like unto a man and to fulfill out the purposes of God for his life, which was to be obedient even unto the death of the cross. Aren't you glad that he was? How many realize what he did affected people? Do you realize that your fulfilling the will of God will affect people? Now, you can grasp onto something that's not your eternal purposes and never affect anybody. Or you can hook on to what God's called and purposed for you to do from the foundations and affect a lot of folks. So we saw that, and then we come down in that passage into verse 12. And then Paul says a very annoying statement. He says, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. And we talked about this last week. And then he says, for God worketh in you both the to do and the will, both the will and the to do of his good pleasure. Now, we're going to be talking about this today, and my emphasis today will be that he worketh in you both the will and the to do. Let me summarize just rapidly, though, what we did talk a little bit about last week. Do you work for your salvation according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8? It says that you are saved by grace through faith, and that's not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Matthew, you ought to be preaching this. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So we know that we don't work for our salvation. But we are created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. The next verse says, verse 10, 8, 9 was what I quoted to you. And then verse 10 says, but we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we don't work for our salvation, but you must understand this. You will work your salvation out. Work out your own. Is that what verse 12 says right there in Philippians chapter 2 in your Bible? You need to have your Bibles here. Always bring your Bibles here. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Say a lot of things that you don't hear nowhere else, do you, John? Is that right? Right. I want you to see if I'm telling you the truth. Work out your own salvation. You do not work for it, but you will work it out. Now hear me. The gospel has been so polluted by the doctrines of devils and the doctrines of men that we have made salvation this little flimsy little thing that you pray a prayer, sign a membership card, come to church once a week, and you're bound for glory. That is of hell. Hear me, you will work out your own salvation, and you will do it with fear and trembling. Now, I know that's not what you normally hear, but let me warn you. I really believe that a lot of people are going to wake up in hell that thought they were going to wake up in glory. Matthew 7:21. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. For many will say in that day, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. And we've done many wonderful works in your name. And he will say unto them, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. According to that passage, what is the one thing that will get us into the kingdom of heaven? Doing the will of the Father. Now listen, just to help us a little bit. Understand that these people, they that prophesied, cast out devils, and worked miracles were probably the hottest thing in the body of Christ at that time. I mean, how many would like to have ministry to come in? I mean, we have liked it. We have had ministry to come in here and prophesy. We know the fullest our place has ever been is when we had ministry that come in and prophesy. You see, these are hot members in the body of Christ. What about people that would come in and cast out devils? Would people come to watch people cast out devils? What about miracle workers? If we had people that would come and work miracles, don't you think really work miracles, don't you think that this place would fill up? Hottest things in the body of Christ. Hottest things, man. Hottest pieces in the body of Christ. But yet and still, you can do all of that and still hear, I don't know you. Depart from me. And where would they be departing unto? It's in that day. It's in the last day. There's only two places in the last day. Now, work out, Philippians 2:12, work out. You're not working for it, but you will work it out. Your own salvation. Your salvation is different from my salvation. My salvation is different from your salvation. I'll clarify. Do we have the same Savior? Do we have the same source? But you've got to understand it's working out your own salvation. What saved Noah? Grace, which caused him to build an ark. What saved Moses? Grace of God, which caused him to lead a people out of bondage and build a tabernacle. What saved Gideon? Grace of God, which caused him to lead a people into battle and destroy the Midianites. What we've got to understand the grace of God is what God works in us. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But you see, it's your salvation. And there's something for you to do. Moses stood on the mount and he looked across the Red Sea and he says, stand still and see the salvation of our Lord. Now, your salvation is something I can see working in your life. It's not something I have to guess at. It's something that I know if it's working in your life because I see you doing what God has called and purposed for you to do. Stand still and see the salvation of God. So what we've got to understand is this is your salvation. Work out your own. Is that what? Now look at Philippians 2:12 and make sure that's what it says. Work out your own salvation. So you have a salvation to work out. Do you understand this now? This is crucial. Work out your own salvation. You're not going to work out mine. What we have done in the body of Christ is a lot of preachers have put their salvation on other people, their convictions and their things. And so what we always have people doing is working out our salvation. I can put my convictions on you and cause you to have to work out my salvation. But is that what the Bible says? What does the Bible say? Work out your own salvation. See, because you've got one of your own. I've got one of my own. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Fear, trauma, phobia. That's what those words are. Phobia and trembling is trauma. I mean, this is serious stuff. We're not talking about little doctrines to debate here. We're talking about something that causes fear and trembling and should cause it in our lives. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This isn't something you just come pray a prayer, sign a card, come to church once a week, and head for glory. I'm so afraid, folks, that there's going to be so many people that are going to go end up in hell. They're going to wake up, say, "Well, I thought I was going to heaven." It's serious. It's very serious stuff. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both the will and the to-do of His good pleasure. Now, here's what I want to talk about here. This is where all that was just recapping, kind of where we were last week. Get us right at this point. For it is God that does what? Worketh in you. Now, let's think about that just a second. The word work there means labor. It means to toil. How many knows that it's not easy for God to get His will in us? Think about it. God that worketh. He's been working on me, Jody, for 15 years or something. Long time. 16 years. And He's still working. Am I right? How long has He been working on you? See, this isn't easy even for God, because there's something going on in our midst and around us in the dimension of the spirit realm. There are these things that are going on, and God has to work it into us. He has to labor to get this into us. He has to work hard to get His will into us to replace our will and the devil's will. For it is God that does what? Now look at verse 13. That worketh in you. Both the to-do, both the will and the to-do of His good pleasure. And it's His good pleasure, and that's the grace of God. He's working into me what He wants me to do. Is that clear? He works in me His pleasure. He works in me what He wants me to do, but it's not easy for Him to get it into me because He has to work. Even God has to work at this. Now, what I want to talk about today, and what I want you to leave here with today, is knowing how to find the will of God for your life. What do you do to find the will of God for your life? How can you know that you know the will of God for your life? Can you prove it? Can you test it? Is there a proof that you can do? Is there some test that you can do that will prove to you the will of God for your life? The answer is yes. And I'm going to end with that. So we're working to that. That's where we're heading, okay? But what I want to look at right now is to get to that point, I need to show you that there are three entities, three beings that is working, trying to get your will. I want you to see scripturally that there are three beings working for your will. And I want you to see this. So look with me, first of all, in Timothy. 2 Timothy. And I want you to see, first of all, the devil has a will for your life. There is something that the devil wants you to do for him. And you need to understand this. You need to understand that the devil wants you. He wants your mind. He wants your will. 2 Timothy 2:22. I'm going to read several verses. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. 2:22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It's interesting here that you follow after these things with others that are following after these things. Do you see that? It's very difficult to follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace when you're not around people that's following after righteousness and charity and peace. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. I love what the NIV Bible says here. What the NIV Bible says here, foolish and stupid arguments. The NASV version says ignorant speculations. How many knows there's a lot of speculations flowing around in the body of Christ? I mean, you know, we go from one to another, from rapture of the church to all kinds of different things that are flopping around here. And he says, hey, avoid these things. Avoid them. Knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Now, this is speaking of me and you. But be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient. Verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, King James Bible says. How many of you have King James? Okay, that's not even half of us. NASV. NIV. More NIVers than anything else. Okay, I'll use all three. King James Bible says here that what these do is that these guys oppose themselves. He says, in meekness instructing people that oppose themselves. The NIV Bible says those that oppose him are those that oppose the man of God trying to instruct in the Word of God. And the NASV Bible, I don't know what it says. I didn't write it down. What does it say? Oppose themselves or oppose him? But anyway, the thought here is that these people are in opposition to the teaching of the Word. And though they think, Terry, they're opposing me, who are they really opposing? Themselves. Do you see this? See, people get upset with me because I preach and teach the Word of God, but they're not opposing me, Don. Who are they opposing? Themselves. People stop paying tithes. You know, are they opposing me? Are they opposing themselves? People get angry because I preach and teach the Word and we have praise and worship and loud music. But who are they opposing? Me or themselves? Bible says praise Him with loud music, on loud instruments. Let them praise Him in the dance and let them rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice means to whirl about. We sing about the joy of the Lord, but sad to say, most Christians don't have it. So people get upset with me, but they're not opposing me. They're really opposing themselves. I like the way that the King James says it. But the NIV says they oppose him or oppose me if God preadventure will give them repentance to acknowledge of the truth. Let me read this whole verse. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to acknowledge the truth. Now, please tarry there just a second and digest this. Who gives repentance? Please see this, folks. See, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. When you came to God, He put repentance upon you. He gives repentance. And He says here, when people oppose you, He says, hey, hang in there. With meekness, ask God if He'll put repentance on them. You see, I can't make people repent. Repent meaning think differently. I can't make people think differently. All I can do is preach the Word, teach the Word, and live the Word. That's all I can really do. And what God has to do then is take this Word and give it to you and cause a repentance to work in you, a different way of thinking. You with that? You understand that? And people want me to do this for this person or that for that person. Folks, I can't do it. God has to give repentance. And so what I have to do is ask God to give repentance. And if God will give repentance, then it'll work. Now let me talk about this just a second. You see, because this is where I'm at right now. I was talking to Steve Weaver last night. And I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand why God doesn't give repentance. Why doesn't God give us repentance to think different? Why don't people want to come for Wednesday night Bible study? Why don't people want to pray? Why don't people want to praise? Why doesn't God give us repentance to think different? Why don't people want to go to church? Why don't people want to pray for other people? Why don't people want to do this? Why doesn't God give us repentance? I don't know, John. I don't. Do you know? Nobody knows. Because it's God that has to give it. And so what we've got to understand is that when we see God moving on a life, or when you sense God moving in your life, say, my God, He's moving on me. Let's grab this moment. Let's hook up here. Let's enjoy. Let's get all we can out of this moment. Hey, you may roll around and laugh on the floor, but grab that moment, right, Terry? You may fall out in the spirit. Well, grab that moment. But whatever's happening, get all you can, because it's God that gives repentance. It's God that brings the times of refreshing. And I don't understand. I don't understand why He doesn't move on some lives. I don't understand why He doesn't change people. I don't understand why He doesn't move on me more than He moves on me. I don't understand it. But I know that it's God that gives repentance. And I know that it's He that works in me. He's laboring, working in me, both the to-do and the will of His good pleasure. So God gives repentance. Verse 26. And here's the verse that we're heading for. And that they may recover themselves. Who's going to recover them? Do I recover them? Who recovers them? That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. NIV Bible says that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who are taken captive by him at His will. NIV Bible says, taking them captive to do His will. Does the devil have a will? Does he attack those that oppose those that try to instruct in righteousness? And we've watched that so often. It's so pitiful to me. And all I can do is thrust out a warning to you. Don't oppose somebody that's trying. Hey, I won't always do it right, but don't oppose me, because I'm doing the best I can. And if you know me, you know that's the truth. I'm laying in there, man. I'm giving it my best shot. Don't oppose me, because the devil will snare you. That is a trap that he has set to get you. Can you see this? Am I right here? Because he has a will that he wants you to do. If you don't agree with me, hey, just say, I don't agree with that, but hey, you know, you'll change. If you're wrong, I'll change if I'm wrong. We'll go on with God together. Let's don't get into strifes here. But don't oppose somebody that's trying to do right, because you're playing into the snare of the devil, and what the devil will do is grasp you and cause you to do his will. And allow back to what we're ministering about. Does the devil have a will for you? Yes, he does. You need to see that. The first thing that you will struggle with in doing the will of God is discerning which is God's will and which is the devil's will. That comes number one. Is this God or is this the devil? Number one. Number two, you have a will. Now, this is probably the biggest struggle that we all go through. We have a will. I'll read you several, but we'll look at 1 Corinthians 7:37, and I'll just show you one verse. And then I'll give you several others that you can understand and grasp. 1 Corinthians 7:37. All right. What we're wanting to get today is, how do I know I am doing the will of God? Because this is primary importance in my life. Because if I don't fulfill the will of God, I will hear those words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I have got to know I am doing God's will. How do I know I'm doing God's will? Number one, understand there's a will of the devil for you. Number two, understand you have a will. And your will isn't always in line with God's will. How many knows that's the truth? Okay, talk about that in just a second. 1 Corinthians 7:37, nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will. Power over what? His own will. The Bible clearly says that you and I have a will. We have our own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin doeth well. Now what this passage is clearly talking about here is a father who has a daughter, and he's kept her pure, and this guy comes along and wants to marry her. Well, the father has got the right to say you can or you can't. That's simply what that's saying. It's not always that way today, but usually that's the way it should be. And that's what the passage is saying. But of course, what we're looking at, what we're wanting here, is to see the thought that we have our own will. Now, do we have our own will in ministry? Even though I'm a minister of Jesus Christ, do I have my own will? Okay, sure I do. Sure I do. Now, just write this down. Don't turn. Just listen to me. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 12, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. And what he's telling them here, he says, now I wanted Apollos to come and see you. You needed Apollos to come, and I wanted Apollos to come, but he did not do it because it was not his will. I'll read the verse. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he has a convenient time. Now, let's see what Paul's really saying here. Paul says, I told Apollos I wanted him to come and see you. But he said, I don't want to go right now. I'll go when it's more convenient for me. Now, this is a ministry. Let's bring it to the church at Lafayette. How many of you have ever had a tongue, an interpretation of tongue, or a prophecy, or something that you knew God was boiling up in here? You could feel it. You could feel it going. But your will overcame God's will, and you didn't give it. A lot of heads doing this. You see, we can look at old Apollos there and say, boy, Apollos, you messed up. Paul said he wants you to go and minister, and you wouldn't go. But man, we got to think about ourselves. How many times does our will overpower the will of God for what God wants to do right now, today, this moment? Do you see what I'm saying? So, number one, there's the will of the devil. Number two, there is our will. Our will greatly interfere with God's will for our life. Did he want you to give that tongue or interpretation or prophecy? Was that God's will? But did you do it? No, because you were battling with your will. Understand, number one, devil's will stop you. Number two, he gets you in opposition with people, opposition with me. He'll stop you from doing God's will. Number two, it's your will. Your will stop you. Now, one more verse in this particular verse, Ephesians 2:3, what it's really talking about here is that one time that we were lost, and we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And that word desires there is the same Greek word that is translated will in other passages. And it says that when we were, but we were now converted, but one time we were, and in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires or the will of the flesh and of the mind. And we're nature, children of wrath. How many knows, though, that even though we are saved, we still come in conflict with our own will? That just because we get saved and believe in Jesus Christ, that does not change our wills. You understand that? Number one is the devil's. Number two is yours. Number three is the will of God. And that's what we want to look at, and that's what we want to end with. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, what I'm going to get here, hear me now, I'm going to show you biblically how you can know and prove and test the will of God. You can know, you can prove it, you can test it to find out if you're doing it. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, Paul says, I beg you. This is so important. He says, there's nothing more I can really beg you to do. If I can beg you to do one thing, this is what I beg you to do. By the mercy of God, by just entreating God for his mercy, this is what I beg you to do. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. The word there is metamorpho. It's you're changed from within. There's something that there's a transformation that happens. There's a metamorphosis, like a worm becomes a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. There's this metamorphosis that will happen in our lives. Metamorpho, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what transforms you? Seeing that? And according to that verse, what works this metamorphosis? Renewing your mind. See, if your mind doesn't change, that's the word for repentance. If there's not repentance working in you all the time, repentance is not a one-time deal. Repentance works in me every day. I want to change every day. I want to become more into His image every day. I want to be transformed more and more and more every day. I want to come into the perfection of Christ Jesus more and more and more every day. I want the mind of Christ more and more and more every day. I am transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may what? That you may what? Test. What version is that? NIV. Prove, NASV. Prove, King James. You can test, you can prove it, you can know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life. Can you know the will of God? Do you have to wonder, oh my God, am I going to heaven? You don't have to. You can know you're doing the will of God. Now, when we leave here today, I want to have given you how this works. Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, that you present your bodies, yourselves, your beings, as a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, they had dead sacrifices, bulls and goats and birds and heifers and all this stuff, dead sacrifices. In the New Testament, it is a living sacrifice. You become a living sacrifice. So you present yourself. You present. Would you say that with me? I present myself. I present myself. Just one more time. I present myself. Now, here is the key. You will never get to verse 2 in knowing the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God if you can never do number 1, which is the presentation. Now, who presents you? Can I present you? Who presents you? We present ourselves. Each one of us must come to the place where we can present ourselves to God. Now, doing on Wednesday night, we're doing a study in the book of Numbers, and we're in chapter 6, which is, we were in chapter 6, we finished chapter 6. But what we're talking about was the blessing, where Aaron was told by Moses how to bless the people. God told Moses, and he says, this is what you'll say to the people, these are the words that you'll put over them. He says, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee, may the Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, may the Lord lift His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now that's the blessing that God told Moses to tell Aaron to put on the people. And as we were studying that, a very primary point came out in our study. The primary point is positioning. May the Lord make His face to shine upon me. All right, Jody, I want your face to look at me. Now, what do I have to do to get Jody's face to meet my face? Have I got to position myself? Is this the right position? How many see the position is the key? If I want His face to shine on me, I have got to position my face with His face. The word in the word face there is the same word that it is before for speaking about the shewbread table in the tabernacle. The shewbread table was set in the holy place, and it sat there, and that's where the priest had communion. And they were set there before the Lord, before the veil, before the Lord. And that shewbread table, that face table was set there so that as the Lord would begin to shine His face, that the priest would always be in position to see His face, to get His face. The key, folks, to you ever learning the will of God for your life is the positioning. Several weeks ago, Dwayne Swilly was here. We had a massive move of the Holy Ghost. People were crying. Oh my gosh. You can tell when God's moving, because when you take up the offering and you get $2,100 for one man in one service, you know God has moved. For where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. Now let me just say this. I've been meaning to for a couple of weeks. I want to thank you. That is the largest single offering
I may have even ever heard about.
You know, I don't know. God was here just for a couple of hours, but it was so moved upon us, and the Holy Spirit so moved in our hearts and in our lives that we wanted to give to this ministry. We wanted to give to this man. And so $2,100 came in. I want to thank you for that. Goodness, if you don't understand, sometimes I have these ministries to come in that I want to bless us and minister to us, and I'm so afraid, you know, that we'll tip them a little bit. I want to bless them. And then another thing that you did that I'm so proud of you is that when I introduced Dwayne, without any encouraging at all, without me even asking you to or provoking you to, everybody just stood and welcomed the man of God. I really believe in my heart that's what triggered that move of the Spirit. I really believe that's what triggered and moved him and anointed him and opened up receptivity in our hearts to him that God was able to move. And I just wanted to thank you for that. But God was moving that day, and God moved upon us, and man, it was just glorious and wonderful, and people were excited and bouncing off the walls. I mean, we weren't swinging from the chandeliers because we don't have any, but we were happy. We were happy, you know what I mean? And we were excited about the things of God. But the people that weren't here, Michelle, didn't get that. And no matter what their reason was, that's not what I'm talking. I'm not putting you down if you weren't here. Don't hear me wrong. Don't get in opposition with me now. You'll hear me wrong because there's different reasons. People out of town, I'm on vacations and all these things, especially this time of the year. So don't hear me wrong. But what I'm saying, though, is because of the positioning of some, they got the blessing of God. Am I right? And learned another part of the will of God for their life. So the first thing you've got to understand is I present myself. I have got to get myself into position to having His face to shine upon me so that He can reveal to me His will. I have got to put myself into position. I need to be here on for prayer times. I need to be here for Bible study times. I need to be here for corporate meetings. I need to be here. Now you may be saying, well, you just want us here. Yes, I do, because I'm concerned about your eternal soul. Yes, I do. And I want you to flow with us, and I want you to function with us, and I want you to mature in Christ, and I want you to minister to people, and I want you to grow in God. Yes, I do. I am very concerned that you be here. Yes, I am. I want you here. I want you in your chair. I don't care if you've got one that you won't let nobody sit in. I want you here. Put your name on it. I don't care. Be your chair. Just be here. Position yourself. Present yourself as a living, breathing body here. We're getting all that stuff. You know, we got our own chairs. I don't care if you got your own. Bring it from home. I don't care. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Holy. Do you realize you're a holy people? Do you realize acceptable? That's the way you become acceptable back to God, is by presenting yourself. Present yourself as a holy, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And that's just what you're supposed to do. That's your reasonable service. Is that what verse 1 says? Your reasonable service. That's just what you're supposed to do. And be transformed, or be not conformed to the world. You see, the first thing that will start happening in your life when you begin to present yourself to God, when you begin to get around with the people, and we read that scripture earlier, that if you want to go in righteousness and peace and those kinds of things, you get around people that go in righteousness and peace, and all of a sudden you'll find you start thinking different. You start acting different. Your home becomes different. Your lifestyle becomes different. You just do different things, and you find yourself transformed from the world, changed, not conformed to the world. The world's not conforming you now. What's conforming you now is the people in the body of Christ. You see this? You see this? So crucial. It's so crucial. Yes, Lord. Yes. Hey, He speaks to me all the time. Did you hear that? I didn't know y'all could hear that. Some people thought that was a CB tear. That wasn't. That was this guy. So the first thing is we find things change. Now, people talk about my family. I just use it as an example. I'm very proud of my family. All kinds of crazy things said about my family. We're weird. You know, you got a weird family. But they say in a positive way. I have a good weird family. You know, my family's a good family. We love each other. We're all in the ministry. We're all seeking the will of God. We're, you know, and I'll give this. The reason that it is this way is because I have presented myself Therefore, my family has come along with me and presented themselves. Therefore, we're not conformed to the world, but we are transformed. We are metamorphosed by something happening inside of us. I don't think like most people think. There's a metamorphosis that's happening in my mind. There's a renewing of my mind. You see this in your Bible now. Verse 2 says that. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed, metamorphosed by the what? Renewing of your mind. That is the key. Presentation. All of a sudden, when you begin to present yourself, you find yourself that the church now begins to conform you, that the people that are set free by the Word of God, that the people that are living in life and in eternity will begin to conform you, not the world. And you find you start thinking different. All of a sudden, things you used to love, you don't love anymore. You start loving things you used to hate. You start reading the Bible. I never used to like to read the Bible before I got transformed. All of a sudden, things are different. Your home's different. Your finances are different. Aren't they, Turk? Finances get different. Your marriage is different. Your children are different. Everything changes. You find the will of God for your life. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Please see that. In this verse, it clearly and simply says you can really prove the will of God. You can prove it. That you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now let me say this to you. God doesn't have three wills. He doesn't have a good will for you, an acceptable will for you, and a perfect will for you. That's not what that's saying. What he's saying here is as you begin to be renewed, you'll begin to step into God's will for your life. All of a sudden it'll become good. You'll take some more steps. It will become acceptable. The next thing you know, is you're coming into God's perfect will. God's will for your life, as I've said, shared earlier, is I've been in it 16 years, and I don't feel like I have come into His perfect will for my life yet. But I have continued to move in it, and He has given me more and more and more revelation along the way. He brings people into my life, prophets into my life. He reveals it to me as my mind is renewed. I change from glory to glory, strength to strength, and I come into His understanding, and He reveals to me what He wants me to do. How many understand what I'm saying here? First it's good, then it's acceptable, but you got to start with the presentation. That is the key. You will never find God's will for your life if you don't present yourself. That's the key. You get around people that think a certain way, you will start thinking that way. Now, I want to give you, in closing, three thoughts about how that are in conjunction with, and just write these down. It won't take us but a second. Three aspects that I found in studying the will of God that you've got to do to find it. First is prayer. And this prayer that I'm talking about is going to be in two dimensions. First of all, you have got to have others praying for you. Now, I know that you would probably think, first of all, you need to pray for yourself, that you would know the will of God. No, first of all, you've got to have others praying for you. I'll read the verse. Colossians 1:9. Write this down. Don't turn, just write it down. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Understand that you need to pray for me. If we want our church to go on and be what God has called it to do, you have got to pray for me that I will be filled with the knowledge of His will. Right? Now, in Epaphras here, Paul's talking about this guy who was a member of the body that he was writing to at Colossae. And in 4:12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Listen to me, people. We have got to pray for each other that we be filled with His will. It's not enough for me just to pray for myself to be filled. I need you praying for me to be filled with His will. You need me praying for you to be filled with His will. Do you see this? Then we do pray for ourselves. Jesus giving instructions. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Where? On earth. That's my earth. That's where I'm at. So I pray, God, I want to get in Your will. Bring it to me. So with prayer, number one, people praying for you. Two, you gotta pray for yourself. Secondly, the second thing that you'll have to do to get in to find God's will is sanctify. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Hear me now, because this is where a lot of people are today. I'm going to give you just a little illustration that happened. I think it was me and Monty. We were down in Florida at a grocery store, and I just want to give this to you. I'll read the verse again. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." The word sanctification simply means to remain pure. To remain pure. Monty and I, wasn't it you and I that were standing to get that register? You know what I'm about to say? Okay. We're standing at a register about to check out. We got our little groceries and stuff, and we were going to go fishing the next morning. We thought we were going to go fishing the next morning. We were standing at this register, and there was this magazine. And on the cover of this magazine was this beautiful woman in nothing but one of these fishnets. Was that pretty much what it, I mean, just a fishnet. And it was a little fishnet. Yeah, I tell mine, I said, maybe we'll catch one of them tomorrow. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. But hey, what I'm trying to say here, listen, is you can't go to the grocery store and not have these thoughts hit you. Judy was watching television the other night, told me about it. Something that she thought she would enjoy. It was a movie that became a series, and she was watching it on television, thought she was going to enjoy it. And these two people were in bed, and this guy got up out of bed, showed his whole backside. I mean, it showed his whole backside, butt and everything. Just there he was, for the whole world to see as he walked off into the bathroom. Now listen, women and men, you have got to watch your mind. If we are going to find the will of God, it's difficult to find the will of God when you're thinking about naked women in a fishnet. I mean, do you understand? Sanctify your... This is the will of God for you. That you sanctify yourself and abstain from fornication. You cannot find God's will when your mind is maxed out with pornography. Am I right? You can't do it. You can't present yourself holy and spotless and blameless. You can't come before Him when all this is happening in here. You ever tried to pray while you're having sex? Let's be clear, huh? It doesn't work, does it, Tuck? Never tried, huh? Tuck says, don't ask me that. Talk to somebody else. I mean, it's different worlds, folks. I mean, let's be real. And, you know, we gotta be real here. This is the will of God for you, that you sanctify yourself and abstain from fornication. Folks, you can't present yourself holy and acceptable unto God when you got these things going on inside of you and in your life. You gotta be purifying yourself. Has anybody, three, patience. Number one. You got to pray. People praying for you, praying for yourself. Two, you got to be sanctified. And three, there must be patience. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise." How many want to receive the promise? Don't you? Requires patience. Requires patience. That you would, after you have done the will of God, that you would receive the promise. How many sees that you won't do the will of God, you won't receive the promise until after you have done the will of God? That you might receive, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. There is a promise for each one of us, but it's going to require patience. I want it right now, don't you? I want a huge church full of people that serves God so that we can go out into the highways and the hedges, that we can bring down powers and principalities, that we can establish governments, both natural and spiritual. I want to see a massive move of people that love God, that want to praise God, that want to worship Him. I want it, and I want it now. I do. Patience. Patience. See, if the word of the Lord is right, it's coming, but I've got to have patience. If I want the will of God in my life, I've got to wait for the will of God. Because He's got to work it in me. How many understand that thought? He takes Him a while to work it in me. Pardon? Keep presenting yourself. That's the key. That's the secret. Present yourself. Amen? Is it simple? Is it too simple? Should it be more complicated? Yeah, but I don't want to come. I don't want to be here teaching all this stuff. I got other things I want to do. Well, you will never really know the will of God for your life. You got to present yourself. I don't want to pray. Well, you won't know the will of God for your life. I don't want to sanctify myself. Well, you won't know the will of God for your life. And you may well hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I pray not. But I cannot, when I stand, I won't hear. You didn't tell them. I told them. How many want the will of God? More than anything else. It better be. If you want the will of God to manifest in your life more than anything, raise your hand. Amen. Father, you see the hands. Keep them up. Father, you see the hands.